Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back with the Luke and Pete Show. It's Thursday, and it's been a fine week for a lot of us in the UK. We've been enjoying some balmy weather. Luke, you were talking last week about getting in your Ford Cortina and driving around trying to find a particular seat at Ford Fiesta, sorry. What's the difference between a Cortina and a Fiesta?
Fiesta's much smaller.
Right, okay. But I told you I've been driving around a little bit myself, and I'm sort of... It's not a midlife crisis because I've never done this before, I've decided, but it's giving me a real kind of like 17-year-old kind of buzz that I...
No, that is exactly what a midlife crisis is. You've never done it before and now you feel like you're 17. That is exactly the dictionary definition of it.
But I've never driven a car before, and me driving a car is like... Oh, I can see why people get really excited about this. I'm tootling around here, I'm tootling around there. The freedom of going wherever I want as long as my partner's with me in the passenger seat because she is a registered driver.
Just to put this in perspective, my father-in-law sent a text message the other day talking about how he doesn't think you should be driving.
Why? I am diligent. My hand-eye coordination has been honed from years of video games. I know what the little caps in the engine do. I know where to put the windscreen washer fluid, where to put the coolant, where to put the brake fluid. I know where to put everything now.
He says, Luke, Pete using power tools and now he's driving. This is not good.
Hey, I tell you what, I was googling how to repair a slate roof over the weekend.
Oh my god, I told you about my roof, didn't I?
Yeah, the big man. Have they finished up there?
Couple of grand down. Yeah.
What was wrong with it? Because I am now. I'm in the process of trying to buy a house, and back in the day, maybe even last year, I would find people on podcasts, people on radio shows talking about buying a house. A, fucking gauche, because no one can afford a house right now. B, boring, because houses are fundamentally boring. And C, just doubly boring. That goes for 2 points. Two doses of boring. Didn't need the C. But boring, gauche, because it's a fair whack of financial investment. But, what's wrong with the roof? Because I am trying to buy a house at the moment. I got a survey for the house that I'm trying to buy. And let me tell you, oh, he kicked the tyres down to the fucking rims on that car, the surveyor, the chartered surveyor. My God, he was very detailed and it really has put the wind up me.
Yeah, that's what they do. Oh, I mean, my surveyor didn't even check the roof by the sounds of it because it is fucked. and I think that's something you should be able to see as a surveyor. The roof is the key part of it.
It's very much the business end of the house when it comes to covering you from the elements.
Yeah, I think when surveyors look at whether houses are fit to be bought or not, I think they should at least start with the stuff that, if it's not good or doesn't exist, stops it being
destroys a house, for example, a roof.
Yeah. if it's not got, I don't know, certain types of door frames, it's still a house. If it's got, like... problems with hot potholes in the garden, it's still a house. If it's not got a roof, it's not a house. So that's important. To answer your question as concisely as possible, there was some poor rendering done around the chimney stack,
right,
which meant there were gaps opening up, which meant water was seeping in. So the idea was to get the roofer up to reseal the chimney stack, right? So he gets up there. He says, yeah, I can do that. No problem. Does me a quote. This is how long it's going to take. This is who will do it with me. Fine. So, commissioned him to do the work. He gets up there And he comes back down again and says, right, I've stripped some of it back, and it looks like the leak's actually coming from higher up the roof, so I can reseal the chimney for you, but actually the water's going to start pooling in there anyway because we've got a leak. So the leak extended up one of the valleys to a load of issues with cracked tiles and sealant and felt and all the rest of it. So it turned out you had to pull all the tiles back up the valley, replace the valley, put the more waterproofing down, put the more tiles back on top, right, and then reseal the chimney. So basically, I think roofing is one of those things where it's very difficult to get to the root cause of the problem until you actually get started. It tends to escalate. The other thing is, the slate on my roof is very old, and it's that kind of slate where the slates become very brittle, so you end up having to buy two slate tiles for every one you use, because every time you try and pull one out or cut it, it cracks.
Then
on top of that, you don't want to be walking around on a slate roof when it's anything like just even a little bit damp, because it's very slippery. So there's a lot of problems there. So you
Did he have scaffolding, or did he go up on a ladder?
Just ladders, no. Because
just a ladder, wow.
Yeah, because the valley was resting, the valley was leading to the chimney stack. So they could get out the ladders, go around the chimney stack, and they could be quite safe up there. They didn't really need scaffolding. It wasn't a massive job. It was just a time-consuming one, basically.
I was watching a man replacing this slate roof, or replacing just the odd slate, a piece of slate, I suppose. They've got to like have little hooks to hook around the nails and pull it out and stuff. And I was like, because basically the house that we're trying to buy has got one displaced tile, which has clearly made everything overflow in the guttering, and they've not cleared the guttering out for years.
Yeah, we had to get new gutters as well. Fucking hell. Everyone needs new gutters, apparently. No one bothers.
Yeah, why? I mean, that's just part of the upkeep of the house, guys. That's what I was saying to the survey. I was like, look, that's going to cost you money now, because the rendering on the outside of the house is now soggy, and the plaster on the inside of the house is also now soggy, just because you didn't clear your gutters.
Are we dads?
I think we might be dads, yeah. It's all very dull. But
Pete, speaking of nothing like this at all, actually, but I do really want to mention that it's April Fool's Day today.
Yeah, because this is...
You're
this
quite
is,
wacky.
I just can't... Is this the year that we just give up on April Fools? Because we've had... I think everyone's been through the ringer.
Is it the straw that breaks the camel's back?
Yeah, I just think we just don't need it. We've been in our heads too much. Let's not antagonise each other with tedious wank. So let's just get through today and not worry about it. Not worry about it. Put a film on.
What film?
I watched one with Harry Potter in it, because he'll always be known as that, bless him, Daniel Radcliffe. I think it's Escape from Pretoria, about a freedom fighter escaping from just a lot of bad South African accents, to be honest. His wasn't bad, to be fair, but he's got a lovely little beard on, which I'm very much enjoying.
Oh, has he? That looked weird. What
doesn't matter what he does, he'll still just be Harry Potter with a beard, or Harry Potter with muscles, or Harry Potter with his willy out. Yeah, it's just
yeah,
that's
a shame. That is a shame.
And
if you look at the he is. He seems very, very nice. And if you look at the acting performance of the kids in the first few Harry Potter films, it is abysmal.
I mean, they might have just got kids. I love it. I enjoy that immensely.
Speaking of films, have you seen that Cocaine Bear story that we talked about ages ago is being made into a movie?
Oh, yeah. People are sort of complaining about it, saying that it's, you know, they don't want a story about an abused bear.
The thing is, it was just such a Guardian response to the fact they're making a film of what is a fairly interesting story, right?
It's just one bear.
It was an accident. Right? I'm not suggesting that drug dealing is a noble profession or whatever, but I don't think they plan to drop 100 kilos of their coke, very valuable fucking product, into a forest for a
bear
to
didn't order
eat
it.
Itself to death.
What's
the complaint? Like, The Guardian did a big fucking piece with a writer who I don't think's that good, but that's just my personal opinion. I can't remember his name anyway. But they did a Guardian article where it was literally like, this is not about a film, this is about rank cruelty. It's like, well... It's not really, is it? No one's. What are you suggesting that other bears are going to be influenced by it? You don't see many bears in the cinema going, "Oh, I fancy a bit of cocaine." You know what I mean? Plus, as I understand it, bears don't have any kind of economy or currency, so they can't go and buy it. If they're going to be walking around waiting for a massive shipment of it to accidentally be dropped on their heads, I think they're probably going to be safe.
It's probably the only bear who ever experienced refined cocaine. I mean, I don't imagine they do a lot of tests on bears.
Are getting dealer's coke these days. Yeah, apparently he ate so much of the cocaine that it exploded some of his organs.
Mm. Wow, you know. What a way to go, bear or otherwise. What a way to go.
Yeah, I think wild. Also, like, I don't really know how it becomes a film if you're going to make the film about the bear. I can understand how you're going to make a film about a drug deal gone awry. That seems like pretty well-trodden ground and ripe fodder for a story, but a bear just wandering around the woods doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah, it would need... he wouldn't be wandering, would he? Be running. Yeah, it wouldn't be... I mean, it's hard to sort of figure out how they would...
A bear just wandering around the woods is incessantly demanding the DJ change the song.
I just want him to sort of like... It'd be him wandering around. But they made like an emoji movie, didn't they? And they thought that could never be made.
What's it about?
I think it's just a load of emojis just kicking around, isn't it? Just having a chat.
The emoji movie? I never knew this was made. 2017.
Yeah, I didn't know. I presume they've just made characters out of the little emojis. There's like there'll be the aubergine one, and he'll be rude. And the pool one.
Listen to the first line of the plot. Gene is an emoji that lives in Textopolis, a digital city inside the phone of his user, a teenager named Alex. He is the son of two mare emojis named Mel and Mary and is able to make multiple expressions despite his parents' upbringing. What the
it just sounds like...
That's got more cocaine in it than the Cocaine Bear story.
It sounds like the sort of book like, if we ever became way more popular than we, to be honest, deserve to be on the Luke and Pete Show, that would be our book that we wrote for kids. Because everyone's at it. Everybody who's got any sort of social status on Twitter, that's their first thing. They just turn to making a kid's book. And that sounds like a kid's book.
Whenever I see things like that, I'm always put in mind of that Beastie Boys quote when they were interviewed or they asked about that song, Fight For Your Right To Party.
Yeah.
And they said they always described it to themselves as a joke that went too far, right? Like, they made the song as a bit of a joke. I think it's Fight For Your Right To Party. Anyway, one of their songs, I think it's that one. They said, oh, we made a song as a bit of a joke, just a bit of a laugh. And it just kept snowballing. Before they knew it, they were making a video for it. And they were being obnoxious. And they were making up all these different things. And this is an example of that. Someone has said, what's popular at the moment? Emojis. Yeah. Let's make a film about emojis. And before you know it, you've got a budget of $200 million. Mad. Yeah. Absolutely
go.
Mad.
The Bitcoin Boys. Let's do a film called The Bitcoin Boys. What are we? I don't, just a string of numbers on a server somewhere. Yeah, cool. Let's do it. Sweet. Lunch. It's lunch.
You got some Bitcoin, haven't you?
I got some. No. I took my Bitcoin out of the bank of Bitcoin to try and buy a house.
How did that? Did they not accept the payment? You should have bought a house off Elon Musk.
Yes.
Who, by the way, has officially changed the job title of his CFO to Master of Coin.
Oh, dear Lord. He's just so kind of... who's that guy? Joe Rogan. He's so fucking Joe Rogan, creatine powder, fucking books about... I hate it all.
I enjoy that the tech bros that always reply to his tweets in, even though he's never going to see them, but they act like they're part of his gang.
Really? Right. Okay. I've not seen that, to be honest.
So basically, like tech bros, some tech bros just they're obsessed with Elon Musk, right? And they love him. Yeah. I don't know why, but they do. Something's why. But anyway, and so what they'll do is they'll behave as if they're all part of the same gang, even though Elon Musk doesn't know that they exist.
Like a big squad.
So he'll tweet something that's a little bit controversial. So he'll be doing like, he's all of a sudden announcing he's doing something slightly different. And you'll see a load of replies from his tech bros saying, don't forget the vision, Elon. What are we doing here, Elon? We've got to remember this, that, and the other, Elon. What are we doing here, Elon? It's like, you're not part of his gang. He doesn't know you exist. What is happening here? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it's like as if he's reading that and saying, oh no, I'm betraying the bros. It's just weird.
I just love how much people kind of like hero worship men of his status and men who, you know, have made a bit of coin here and there. Like, it's absolutely that Dan Bilzerian guy, that fucker with the big beard and the muscles, and the bloke who owns Amazon, Bezos and stuff. They have, like, it's those things where everyone gets very obsessed about, like, oh, you know, these self-made fucking men. You know, he's got some moody, like, kind of, like, background, like, how he made his money. Like, he didn't make it. He didn't make it on his own. Elon Musk, his dad owned a fucking emerald mine or something. I'm sorry, like, it's not a fucking rags-to-riches story. None of these are. They had money. Now they've got more money. Well done.
Yeah, I would certainly recommend, if you're bored, looking into the background of Dan Bilzerian, because that is not a self-made man, and that is not this. Is, but the thing about it, which is funny, right, is that it's such like a 12-year-old boy's version of what a perfect life would be. Like,
yeah,
he spends all of his time posting photos on Instagram with like 15 attractive women on a speedboat, right? And you think, oh yeah, fucking hell, that's an amazing way to live your life if you're fucking 14 and have just had your first wank. Like, in real life, that does not exist. And I understand the blurring of the lines between Instagram and reality when it's done in quite a subtle way. So maybe there's a filter put on someone to make them look better, or they're on holiday somewhere and it looks a bit like that's where they live when they don't. This is a man who is paying loads of women to pose for photos on speedboats because he got loads of money from a gambling career or a poker career that was set up because his old man had loads of money, right? That's it. That's not a life, right? Doesn't it? What does he do for the 23 hours and 55 other minutes of the day when he's not posing for that photo? What do you think his life is like?
It's like a shit version of like the Dragon's Den. He'll just sit in a boardroom in a faceless tower in, I don't bloody know, Miami. While
I think he's quite big into your old THC. What's it called? No, your what's it called? Not THC, the other one in cannabis.
Oh, right, okay. Not THC. Oh, CBD. CBD.
Yeah, CBD, yeah.
Right. He'll just sit in his boardroom drinking protein shakes while a succession of pasty tech bros just try and sell him a new idea or something that's never been thought of before.
Do you know what it reminds me of, Pete? Yeah, it reminds me of when, like, you'll see, like, a really charismatic, quite handsome alpha male young bloke who's set up his own business, and the whole goal of the business is to teach people how to be successful in life, and right, the type of people who sign up for that stuff and they pay $500 to do so are never going to be successful to that level in life because their skills are different, right? So maybe they're a little bit more reticent, or they're not outwardly confident, or they're
gullible enough to buy these guides.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but the point is that's only one very narrow definition of success, right? So Bilzerian's whole thing seems to be like, oh, well, if you don't respect me, I'll fight you, right? Well, I'm not going to fight you because you'll beat me in a fight. And look at all these women I've got. Well, I haven't got those women because I'm married. So the parameters are, like, completely defined by him in a way and in a world that doesn't exist.
That's fair.
And it's really, I actually think the reason I'm getting quite animated about it is, I think, because at its core, I probably, if I took some time to think about it, would be of the opinion that it's actually incredibly damaging, not both for young men, but for young women as well, and for everyone who is impressionable, who has access to like an Instagram account, where they think that is something to aspire to, because one, it's never going to happen because it doesn't exist, and two, it's not a great way to live your life anyway. So I think it's probably a tip of the iceberg when it comes to how social media is affecting people's lives, but nevertheless, it is still quite damning, I think.
I follow one of my favorite Instagram accounts, Broke But Millionaire, right? It's like, I think it's all in broken English. It's all very confusing. It kind of sounds like when, like, people from, like, South Asia try and write inspirational things in English, and they just sound a bit off. They're not using the right words, the right grammar, and it sounds a bit weird. But these guys, they do these kind of inspirational, stupid fucking pictures on Instagram, and it's designed for men, like men of our age and younger. So it's like, it's pictures usually taken from, like, Peaky Blinders. or Dan Bilzerian, or Keanu Reeves inexplicably dressed as John Wick, and Jordan Belfort. Is it Belfort? John Belfort, the Wolf of Wall Street, stuff like that. And just like inspirational, stupid things saying, be addicted to goals, not to distractions. And they'll use like a picture of someone being addicted to goals, and then a picture of someone being addicted to distractions. Now, you probably see this one here. You probably can't, actually, because it's not very good. At the top of the screen, it's the aforementioned Dan Bilzerian outside a plane and a car, his private plane. Be addicted to goals, right? And then in the bottom half of the screen, it says, not to distractions. And it's him in a Santa suit with a couple of Victoria's Secret models, also in Santa suits and brassieres, etc. Lingerie. And their whole point is, be addicted to goals. Be obsessed with, like, getting the private jet in the car, not to dressing like Santa with a lot of models. Now, that's the same guy. So your whole message... Your message is that he's
doing both those things.
He's done both those things. He's walking and chewing gum, to be quite frank. I love it. I cannot stop looking at these things. It's like, it's famous actors with stupid fucking inspirational wank messages on them. And
the actors don't even know, do they? They don't even know they're there.
Oh, of course they don't. I spend hours looking at this. I really... They're obsessed with the same people. They're obsessed with Elon Musk. They're obsessed with Peaky Blinders. They're obsessed with... Like Iron Man. They're obsessed with fucking the guy who plays Iron Man because they portray success on. Oh my god, I love it.
You should do one. Get set up one like that because you're good with Photoshop, but it's a steampunk themed one.
No, do one, and every man in the frame has wet himself. Every shot of Dan Bilzerian wearing like white chinos is just piss everywhere. Be addicted to goals, not to distractions. And on both pictures, he's
not to toilets. Anyway, let's have a break. We've got to do a break. We're way over time. When we come back, we're going to do the
inspirational piss account. Inspiration piss millionaires.
We're going to do battery brands when we come back, and we'll squeeze an email in as well. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this.
I'm writing this down. Inspirational piss millionaire.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, I'm Clive Anderson, and My Seven Wonders is my podcast where I sit down with some fascinating guests and ask them one simple question. If you could pick your own seven wonders of the world, what would they be? The guests' choices lead us to some interesting tales, whether it's Omidyar Lily being stopped by New York Customs.
They brought me in for the interview. They said, so what are you doing there? So I'm doing a show with Whoopi Goldberg. And the guy said, yeah, I'm doing a show with Whoopi Goldberg, as if you are. And I said, excuse me? I am. That's why I'm going there. And he's doing a show with Whoopi Goldberg. I couldn't believe my ears.
Olivia Lee eating 120-pound apples at Soho House.
I mean, it is hideously expensive. If I'm just going there once and taking an apple, it's the most expensive apple you'll ever eat.
Or David Baddiel talking about his dad's dementia.
The other thing he could remember are his regular insults. So still, when you leave my dad, if you say, I'm off, he will say, you've been off for years. And it's really comforting that he can still abuse you in this way.
Forget the Taj Mahal and the Lighthouse of Alexandria. The wonders of the world we talk about are much more unique. Listen to My Seven Wonders now on your favourite podcast app.
My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson is a Stakhanov production.
We're back with the Luke and Pete Show. Welcome to the, I would say truncated second half because we got a bit excited about crap on Instagram. The problem with my work schedule at the moment is, Luke, that, you know, we have these little ideas. I just wanted to see a lot of millionaires piss themselves. And I never have time to enact them because we're busy. What we need is personal assistance.
The
so
world
they can
lost.
Do all the work, and then we can do the stupid stuff.
Pete, I don't think we can ask producer Nat to set up an Instagram account for millionaires that have pissed themselves. I just don't think that's going to. I think that's going to mean she's going to want to get a job somewhere else.
Oh, should we do some battery brands, Luke? You've had quite a few popping in.
Yeah.
So Ben every P. Week we Salvage. Find... Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to give people a little rundown. Every single week, we try and find new makes and models of batteries. And sometimes we're successful, and sometimes we're not. Pete, you go ahead.
If you explain it, it sounds crap, but it's
mental,
not, I
it?
Promise. Yeah, yeah. Ben P. Salvage has been salvaging batteries from things. Big Vinny power batteries. That is definitely not a new player. We've heard of Big Vinny before, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've never heard of any other size of Vinny, though, so maybe there are other options there. John Askham has... sent in Pear Deer batteries, which definitely aren't new players, you're saying. Have you seen that before? Pear Deer.
No, producer Nat says they're not new players, and I agree with her.
Oh, right, fair dues. Philip J. Ha has written on Instagram saying his goal is to translate his battery success into becoming a vice admiral in the Luke and Pete army. Onwards through the fog, he says. He's also sent in Sunbeam lithium batteries. Now, again, my memory isn't great for this sort of caper. Is that a new player? Doesn't sound like one.
No, it doesn't sound like one. And I also think that Philip needs to work out, first and foremost, that you don't have admirals in the army. They're in the navy. So that's going to be a problem.
You are such a dad. Dad.
Are we dads?
Are we dads? I think we might be dads.
I mean, I think you should be getting the rank right. I mean, that feels too... I'm not a military expert at all, but that sounds pretty basic to me.
So no new
players this week. That's disappointing. Keep them coming in, though.
Never mind.
Hello at lukeandpeach.com, or we're on Instagram as well, and Twitter at Luke and Pete Show. Peter, there's a little thread running through the Luke and Pete Show recently about people getting free stuff from their dad's work. We did it about 6 months ago, and it's kind of bubbled back up again. Josh has been in touch saying that he says, following Charlie's email on the Monday show about his dad bagging an absolute stash of confectionery from work, this is last Monday, I feel I should also chime in with the fruits of my dad's labour as a window cleaner back in the late 90s.
Oh,
sound like it's going to be a
lovely
porno, but it isn't. He cleaned many windows around town, and a few establishments used to give him free stuff since he's a friendly guy. I vividly remember waking up to 4 or 5 pizzas courtesy of Pizza Hut on a Saturday morning, just sat on the kitchen counter. The chefs would cook a few pizza pies with all the toppings and give them to my old man to take home. As a boy of about 10, I would eat vast quantities of pizza for breakfast and watch Stone Cold Steve Austin flip the middle finger and shout ass a lot. I also, and Josh finishes by saying, I also remember my dad coming home with literal bin liners full of sandwiches and wraps from Pret a Manger and enough Chinese food from the local Chinese restaurant to feed us for a week. He's now approaching 60, my dad, and is now a postman. I get sheets of free stamps every few months. Cheers and stay safe, Josh. Quite a melancholy end to the email, actually.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, imagine getting so many stamps and you just got nothing to send. That would be the fear for me. I'd have too many stamps.
They never run out, though. That's the beauty of them.
Good point. Is that true? Can you get them?
I think so.
What if they've? Is that true? I thought they had.
I found stamps down the back of the cupboard that have been there for years, and I've used them. It's always been fine.
Fair dues.
And I also want to add, just very, very briefly, if I may, this email from Dan in Lisbon, who's first of all, because he's in Lisbon, and that's a nice, cool place to be listening to the show from. I like Lisbon, and I know you do too, Peter.
Been there a few times.
And not just because of the decriminalisation of drugs. Dan says, hi, Luke and Pete. As you read the missive from a listener last week, the one whose father worked in the Mars factory, I thought back for the first time in years to one of the greatest results of my adolescence. You're going to love this, Pete. My mum had a pal who worked in the Ginsters factory down in the southwest.
Ooh.
As a result of this, every month for a fair while when I was around 13 or 14, a cardboard box would turn up at the house. Inside would be piles and piles of unpackaged cheese and onion slices that had failed to meet production standards. We're talking slightly broken off lattice work, the occasional hole in a pastry. And this one was the real pearl, the slice that had been overfilled and had warped from the excess of dirty cheese inside.
Oh, come on. Life is too short not to get involved with that. I mean, what a... It would be like discovering like a new species of bird or something. You'd be like, what the fuck is this? Fantastic.
He says, I love that inexhaustible cheese and onion slice freezer, and I can still remember that slightly cardboardy, fresh-out-the-box flavour today. What I wouldn't give for one of those today. All the best to you both, Dan and Lisbon. I mean, you can just go and buy one if you want, Dan.
Yeah, there's a little Greg's around the corner. That's really got me thinking very seriously about popping around the corner and getting myself
Do you remember like a little bit of a unknown bit of football ramble folklore? Is when we were first bubbling up and we just about to get our first new sponsor and someone rumoured it was going to be Ginsters who were sponsoring us for loads of money.
There was money on the table from Ginsters very, very briefly, but as these things usually sort of pan out. And so the refrain, every time there's like a possible sponsorship on the horizon, we say, well, when the Ginsters money comes in.
That is such an in-joke, but it's just reminded me of that because we were so excited. And at no point did I stop to think that, oh, God, it might be... Ginsters is a bit weird. What's that going to involve? I don't care.
You've got to eat a full, like it's a big pillowcase full of overfilled pasties. It's a big eating channel. Jack, I want to round up the show with this email because it's really tugged on my heartstrings. Very enjoyable. Jack Thirlwell, hello chaps. Hope you and the Stakhanov family are well. I wanted to contribute to a long-running trope of the Luke and Pete show, which reared its head again a couple of shows ago. Flying, and more specifically, amateur aviation. My granddad built and flew his own plane in the 80s, flying from an airfield in Washington in the UK, which is now the site of Nissan's UK plant. Lovely part of the world. One of the few places in England that have sort of numbered streets rather than place names. It's all like
I don't even really know where it is. Is it in the northeast?
Yeah, it's just near, I mean, Nissan's probably near Sunderland, but I remember sort of going back in the day to a computer fair in Washington. I remember sort of being blown away with how the streets were numbered rather than named.
What, so you have like 5th Street and 6th Street in
Yeah, it's like New York, yeah, but it's Washington in the UK. Right. I wanted to email in about this for ages, but after speaking to him about it just before lockdown, he showed me a copy of a magazine article about his endeavours, which made me think this really was lapsed material. look at the picture, that is. The article had plenty of details about the cost, effort and budget, and it brought a smile to my face when I read about his then 16-year-old daughter, my mam, not being interested in his hobby whatsoever. Although he sold the plane before I was born, he's regaled me many times with the tales of flying to lunch across the country with my beloved Nana and their friends in tow. He no longer builds and flies aircrafts. He prefers to spend his retirement by building replica steam engines from scratch. Thanks for the amazing output, including your extra work on the Football Ramble Patreon. Get involved, guys. But there are there's a fantastic, lovely little kind of...
He sounds like an amazing
magazine man. Oh, it's amazing. So this guy just... You know, got an elderly 1600cc Volkswagen engine, completely stripped it down, you know, made new cylinder heads and stuff to take an extra spark plug. And he's made this kind of, like, this little kind of foldy up thing that you would tow behind your car, effectively, a plane. And then you sort of stretch the arms out and then you've got a big plane. But the quote that really kind of really tugged at my heartstrings, that the magazine kind of reprinted, he sort of said, I never thought a working man could fly.
Oh, that's amazing. That's what
isn't that a wonderful thing to say from Grandad? Yeah. He sort of said
Do you know what I'm most impressed by, Pete? Mm. The level of trust that must exist in that family. Because if anyone in my family was building their own plane, up to them, fine. Is anyone else in the family getting in it? No, they're fucking not.
You won't even let anyone sit on your dad's benches.
I will. That's not true. My dad's benches are a work of art. They're going to be popular in the whole town before long, and it's going to be an amazing legacy for him. Those benches are amazing. But I wouldn't get in a plane that hadn't been developed and made by a professional with some kind of paperwork. That's all I'm saying.
A lot of the little one-man, two-man planes that are flying are kit planes. They, you know, they just send you a kit and they send you all the bits and bobs and you put it together yourself. That's your own quality assurances.
That's why I'm not in them. There should be more to it than that.
Oh, dearie me. That's been a fun show. Thank you for joining us. Look out for the Inspirational Piss Millionaires Instagram account. That'll be arriving pretty soon.
Yeah. I just want to round off by saying if Dan Bilzerian is listening and his CBD products do want to sponsor the show, we will still accept that sponsorship.
Yeah.
Despite what we said earlier, we could just change it and do whatever you want to do, Dan.
Exactly, yeah. Just change the whole thing. I will take so much CBD, I'll piss myself. So there we go. Let's get out of here, Luke.
See if that hasn't already happened.
This has been the Look of Each Show. If your granddad's ever flown a plane he's invented himself, do get
or
in
pissed
touch.
Himself.
Or pissed himself while in flight. Have you ever pissed yourself while in flight? Have you drank too many sangrias on the plane to Barcelona?
When have you ever had sangria on a plane? It doesn't happen.
You would be able to get sangria on
your
a plane.
Your mind is mad.
Cheap carton sangria on an easy jet to Malaga. Lovely old job.
Take me back.
Count me in. This has been the Luke Pete Show. We'll be back on Monday doing the same thing. But in the meantime, do get in touch with your nonsense. Hello at lukepeteshow.com on the emails. Check us out on Instagram. Check us out on Twitter. I'll see you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.